Ephesians 5 from verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. We've already been speaking to each other in psalms and spiritual songs this morning, haven't we? But I haven't even got anywhere near me. And we've already covered those first seven verses. Dave spent 2 weeks on all that impurity, sexual immorality, all that stuff. So I'm going to focus this week. We're going to move on, and I want to look at how do we live that way? How can we avoid all that stuff? And why? And I'm going to focus in on verses 8 to 10, which are the absolute key to it all, and which hopefully help you. There we go. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Easy, isn't it? Now, last week, Last week, Ikpe spoke, as we've already heard, he was talking about faith, about the centrality of our faith, about how we walk by faith, not by sight. Without faith, we heard, it's impossible to please God. So we've already kind of covered verse 10. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord, faith is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. With faith, he's pleased. So what pleases God is our faith, is our continuing walk in that faith with him, listening to what he's going to say, following him, following his ways, shining in his light, and not following the ways of the world around us. And that's the whole message, really, not just of this part of Ephesians. It's the whole message of Paul's letters. And I think it's the whole message of the gospel, really. And verse 8, I think, is a key. And I want to focus in on that. We've covered this. If you were in our Bible study Tuesday night, we've covered a lot of this. So apologies. You're getting it all again. Double publishing. And it's key, as I say, not just for Ephesians, but for the whole gospel. We can live in this world as children of light because we are light. We're not trying to be. There's something we need to grasp about what Paul is teaching in Ephesians, but in all his letters, actually, his message is very consistent. He has a very clear picture of what's going on and what the world is like. And it's central to the working out of the gospel among us, and it's something we need to absorb. We've already heard about it, actually, this morning, and we need to get hold of it. For all these promises, all these things God has said are going to happen among us, are going to happen as we step out in faith and we get hold of what God is saying. So, Alison, we're going to go to the PowerPoint and I want to explain something of Paul's vision of how the world works and our vision of how the technology works. We did the fateful thing earlier today, we tried it out and it worked perfectly. Okay, we're going anyway. Paul sees very clearly, bear in mind Paul was a Jew, he was a Pharisee, there we are. Well done, Alison. And suddenly he's confronted with Jesus on that road to Damascus. It's like, what? He has to rethink it. What's going on? What? I wasn't expecting this. He thought he'd got it sorted. He was a Pharisee, he knew the scriptures, blah, blah, blah. And now everything's been thrown into question. Everything he thought he knew. And so he's rethinking. And what he sees very clearly is that there are two realms operating concurrently in the world. There's the old realm, where he used to be, where we all used to be, and there's the new realm, where we are now. He talked about this. He talked about this in Ephesians 2, if you remember. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That was us, wasn't it? That was certainly me. Once you were dead in your transgressions and sins. The next verse is, but God, who is rich in mercy, made you alive in Christ even when you were dead. But we'll come to that in a minute. Let's stick with the old. The old realm, as Paul explains it. It started with Adam, the first human, Adam. And what does he do? He is given authority by God to reign over creation as God's representative. And he chooses not to believe God, but to believe the serpent instead. He gives that authority to the serpent. And so, from Adam onwards, we are all living in his footsteps, if you like, original sin. Paul explains this brilliantly in Romans 5. I know we haven't got some groups this week, but if you want some homework, just go back and read Romans 5, because he explains it very clearly. In Adam, all sin, because we are all in his line. Whatever country you're from, we all come ultimately from Adam and Eve. And so we've inherited that, and we're living in that. And what's it like? Well, it's sin. It's a world of sin. It's a world of death. Adam and Eve sinned and brought death upon themselves, and they brought death on everyone else. Everybody since Adam has died, with one notable exception. And actually, he died, but he came back to life again. We'll come to that in a minute. So this is the realm we all lived in once, thanks to Adam. It's a realm of sin, it's a realm of death, it's a realm of darkness, it's a realm of fear, because we don't know what's going to happen next, and it's all scary. And what's the other side of the coin of fear? Flip fear over and you get aggression. I'm afraid I'll kill you before you get no enemy. Cain and his descendants. That's the old realm, as Paul sees it. And the word realm is to do with king. It's like kingdom. A realm has a king. A realm has a ruler who rules over that realm. Who rules over the old realm? It's, as Paul says in Ephesians 2, it's the ruler of the kingdom of the air. It's the devil. It's the old serpent. Because Adam gave him the power to rule. He gave him the right to rule. And he rules. And we all lived in that old realm, didn't we? Everybody in this room. lived in the old realm was. We were trapped in it. We might have tried, you know, a couple of our best efforts, I'll try and be a better person, but we're trapped in there. One of the other things I could have put, if there'd be more room on the PowerPoint, was slavery. Paul was very clear on slavery, because obviously the whole Israelite story of the Exodus was a picture of God bringing them out of slavery into the new, the promised land. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. So now, thank you Jesus, we've now got a new realm. And this realm began with Jesus. And I've put the Christ, because we often think of Christ as his surname, you know, Jesus Christ, and his mum was Mary Christ. But that's not, that's wrong. Jesus was the Christ, which is Greek for the Messiah, God's chosen one, whose forecoming was prophesied, who would set people free, who would redeem his people and change the world. Jesus brings in the new realm. And what is it? Is it a realm of sin? No, it's righteousness. Is it death? No. I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Is it darkness? No, it's light. Jesus is the light of the world, and we walk in his light. Not fear, peace. My peace I leave with you, he says, doesn't he? The peace of God that passes all understanding is with us. And who rules this new realm? Of course, Jesus does. Tom Wright is superb on this, how God became king. He says, the crucifixion was Jesus' coronation as king. And of course, his resurrection firmly established that. Sin no longer has any hold. Death no longer has any hold, because Jesus has broken those powers. And we are living in this now. We're living here in this new realm. If you're here and you're a believer in Jesus, I think we all are, but if anybody isn't, bear with. You could be. You could be this very day. But if we're believers, if we've given our hearts to God, to Jesus, this is us. We live in this realm. A realm of righteousness, of life, of peace, of light, ruled by Jesus. And how did we get into this? By faith. Yeah? At the point at which we believed and we invited Jesus in, we came into this by faith. What did we do to make ourselves worthy of it? Absolutely nothing. Jesus did it all. You know, Dave was just saying, I can hardly believe I'm a Christian. You are, Dave. And you have been for a long time. Jesus did it. And all we have to do is have that faith. That's it. Boom. So now, guided by the Holy Spirit, we are living in this new realm, Jesus' realm. We are God's holy people, as Ephesians 5 verse 3 said. He said, don't do all this sexual immorality because it's not fitting for God's holy people. That's who we are. We are God's holy people. All right, so far? Let's go back to verse 8. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Notice, Paul isn't saying, once you were in darkness, but now you're in the light. He doesn't say that. He says, once you were darkness. Yeah, you lived in it, but it lived in us as well. We were darkness. I was darkness. All sorts going on. Mental darkness, because you're ignorant. I was so far gone, I didn't have a clue that I was actually that far gone. Until Jesus came along. So we were darkness, and now we are light. You and me, sitting here this morning, we are light. How can that be? How is that even possible? Well, you are light in the Lord. We are light in the Lord. Paul talks a lot about us being in Christ, doesn't he? Ephesians 1, there must be at least 8 or 9 blessings that Paul talks about. In Christ, you have been forgiven. In Christ, you are redeemed. In Christ, you have every spiritual blessing. There's a whole list in Ephesians 1. And it's a key part of this notion Paul has of the new realm. Once we were in Adam, he tells us in Romans 5, but now we are in Christ. The graphic's a bit naff, but it's the best one. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your weaknesses and your failings and all of that. What he sees is Jesus. God looks at you and he sees Jesus, his son. And we've got this wonderful sort of wraparound thing going on where Jesus is in me and I am wrapped up in him. So, you know, all around me is Jesus and all in me is Jesus. And there we go. That's why we're light. Yeah, we're in it, but we're in it. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, but he also said, you will do great things in me. And so this is part of what David was saying. You know, he tells this story about praying for his auntie, who's still alive, praise the Lord. What did he say? Well, I just felt weak. It doesn't matter how you feel. I don't have to feel holy and righteous and like the light, but I am. Because God says so. Scripture says so. Holy Spirit says so. Don't matter how I feel. So let's look at another scripture just to back this up. Colossians 3:13, Paul says this, since then, you have been raised with Christ. This is all part of his baptism teaching. You know, we died with Christ, and now we're raised with him. The old nature has gone, the new has come. All of that is part of this old realm, new realm thing. Once you were there, then you died, and then you come back to life in Christ. So, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Scripture says he's interceding for us. Isn't that brilliant? Jesus is sat at the right hand of God in heaven right now interceding for us. What is praying? Have you ever asked him? Jesus, what are you praying for me in my heart? What are you asking God for me? Because that's what he's doing. Anyway, move on. Set your minds on things above, says Paul, not on earthly things, for you've dallied, and your life is now where? Hidden in Christ in God. So, if, like I've said already, just to repeat yourself, if you're here, you've given your life to Jesus, this is you. We're living in this new realm with all these goodies. We're holy because God says so. We're holy because we have his Holy Spirit within us. We're not sinners anymore, we're righteous. We're not darkness, we're light. It's basic gospel, isn't it? Jesus took my sin and he gave me his righteousness. He delivered me from death, he gave me his life. That's the deal, isn't it? What did I do to deserve it all? Absolutely nothing at all. But it doesn't matter because Jesus did it all. All we have to do is have faith. Believe it's true. And because it's true, we have the ability, we have the power, if you like, to live godly lives. All that negativity in the first part that comes in the verses before this, sexual immorality and pornography and swearing, and that, we don't have to go back there because we've got the power not to. That's the gospel in a nutshell. The old has gone, the new has come. And yet, not fully. And yet, the old realm has gone. Jesus defeated the devil. He broke the power of sin. He broke the power of death. But it's still lingering on, isn't it? Just look around. He says, in verse 15, I think, you know, the days of evil. Just look at the evil. It's still out there, isn't it? It's not fully gone yet. And it won't fully be gone until Jesus returns in glory and puts an end to it all. There'll be a glorious day when we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And he will look at you and he'll go, Jesus, great! To all the goodness and all the promises and all the inheritance that I've said you've got. And for the others, there'll be a very different judgment. So, we are holy, we are righteous, and we are still having to work that out. It has happened. Jesus made me righteous when I believed in him. You could argue he did it on the cross, which he did. You know, did it happen then, or did it happen for me when I chose to believe? Take your pick. But he's already done it, it's past tense. You are holy, you are righteous, you are without sin, the end. And yet, we've still got all these things we're dealing with, haven't we? We are still having to work out how to be holy, and how to be righteous, and how not to do stupid things. So it's a done deal, and it is still ongoing now, and in the future, ultimately, we'll be made perfect when we see him. We will be like him when we see him. Yeah. So everything Paul teaches about these two realms is true. The old realm has been defeated and the new has come. Once we were trapped in the old, now, thanks to the cross, we are in the new. We're not trapped there because it's about freedom. All that is the truth. And yet, not fully. It's now, and it's not yet. We're still, so that's why we're still working through it. You know, why hasn't everybody been healed? Why do I still do stupid things and slip up? Why do we still sin from time to time? Are we sinners? No, we're not. But we're still working it out. The Holy Spirit is still working it out in us. And future, it will happen fully for us all in the end. So we're living in this new realm. You can't be in both. This is why Paul's so strong about all those negatives. Get rid of all lying and brawling and anger and filth. And, you know. Why is he so fussy about that? Because you can't have a foot in both camps. You're either in that one, and you're trapped in darkness and death and sin, or you're in this one, and you're in with Jesus and light and truth and righteousness and peace and freedom, all the gospel has. You can't be in both. And so we're in this one, so let's start having a good one. That's basically Paul's saying. Yeah? We are light, and we have to live as children of light. But we have the ability to do that because the Spirit of light is. And we've not got to be lured, tempted back into the apparent attractions of the realm of darkness. Because they're not really attractive at all, are they? Are they? Not really. Not when you look at them, not when you weigh it up. You know, would you rather have that? Or would you rather have what Jesus has given us? No contest. And what's the key? Faith. The key is faith. We've got to have that. Obviously, we've got to have faith in God. Anyone who comes to God must believe that he is, says it in Hebrews, and that he rewards those who believe in him. It goes on to say. So we've got to have faith in him. We've got to have faith in Jesus that he has actually done all this and that this has actually happened. And here's the next level of faith. We've got to have faith that it's true for me. Like Dave said, doesn't matter how you feel when you pray if you want to. Do I feel like Jesus? No, do I act like, but that's so what? Is Scripture true? Or are my feelings true? Is Scripture true? Or is what the world out there says? True. We've got to have that faith. Faith in what Jesus has already done for us, what the Holy Spirit is now working through in us to empower us to live as his children. And that's why he goes on, Ephesians 5:15, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but wise. Well, how can we possibly live as wise? Well, because we've got the Spirit of wisdom, of course. Jesus is wisdom. You've got Jesus, we've got the wisdom. Now, we can still do stupid things. But Paul says, you don't have to. Don't live as unwise, be wise. Here we go. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Yes, they are. But we are not. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. We need to know what God's will is for us. Adam's fundamental sin was in saying, I don't need God to tell me what's right and wrong. I'll work it out for myself. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I know what's good and evil. I don't need God to tell me. So we've got to know what the will of God is for our lives in any given situation. And how do we do that? Well, Romans 12, verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you will know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will, says Romans 12, verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you think of yourself? Do we think we are light? Do we think I've got the power of Jesus in me? I'm righteous. And I'm holy, even when I mess up. Or do we think, well, actually, I'm going to be reading rubbish, but God loves me anyway. Praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, I'm going to be doing it. One day I'll die and go to heaven, it'll be all right. It's faith. It's faith. How we see the world, how we think of the world. We have to make the right choices, and we still have the ability to make totally wrong choices, but we can make right choices because He lives in us. We can be wise because we've got the Spirit of wisdom. We're having our minds renewed and transformed so we can understand what God's will is in any situation, whatever crops up. And just say earlier, you know, bad things are going to happen. Well, what does God want me to do in this situation? Ask Him. He'll tell me. Because we've got Him. And we can be constantly filled and constantly refilled with the Holy Spirit day by day by day by day. And that is the entire gospel in a nutshell. You were in the old, now you're in the new. Live that way. And how do you do that? Because you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. Yeah? That's the way it is. He's lifted us out of the old. Where's that scripture? God has taken, praise the Lord, who has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son He loves. That's where we are. That's who we are. I'm in Jesus. He's in me. And that's it. That's the gospel. And it's powerful. It's powerful when we believe it. But what's the enemy's number one tactic in the church? Number one tactic, get the church to not believe it. Then the church is weak. How powerful and effective has the church been in this country in the last 300 years? Well, we just get them to not believe it. Yeah, they can believe in God up there somewhere, la la la, heaven when you die. You know, they can believe that. But whatever you do, don't let them believe what they've got hit by here and now. Because if once they do that, the devil's in trouble. He wants us to start living doubt. He wants us to live in fear. He wants us to think, you know, I've got to try harder. We don't have to do any of that. We're not going to slip back into that old darkness. Because we're the people of faith. Because we are a people of light. And God is leading us, as this book says, last scripture, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, that's His image, from one degree of glory to another. We've already got some glory, and He's giving us one degree more, and one degree more, and one degree more as we have our faith in Him. And all this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It is much easier to believe in our own fleshly failings than it is to believe that we are light. But that's what Scripture says. And that's the level of faith that we've been hearing about this morning from all the various people who have come up, and that is the level of faith God's calling us into as a church, to live as children of light, so that those in the darkness will just see. Now we go. So we're going to have communion, get data from the leaders. Just stop this.